want to welcome you to the goodnewsjesuschrist.org. We are continuing our synopsis on Romans 13. In Romans 13, we're going to start with one, but I want to go to another context real quick just to kind of point something out before I get into this, because it goes along with what the first couple of verses are talking about here, and I want to make sure that I clarify these things. So if we went to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13, it says, "Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to be a king as a supreme authority or the governors, as those sent by him to punish those who do wrong, to praise those who do right." How beautiful. Okay, well, actually, you might be surprised to realize that that's not what the original language says. Contrary to what you might believe, you're welcome to believe what you want, but here's what the actual original language does show for Peter. It says, in the original Greek transliteration, okay, I'll read the transliteration and I'll tell you what the defining words are from the Greek. "Be in subjection to every human institution for the sake of the Lord, whether to the king as being supreme." Here's what it actually says. "Be subjected under God, every human creation, for the sake of the Lord, whether a king who sees himself as supreme or governor," and then it goes on. So, quite a change there. And the reason why I talk about this first in Peter, and then I go back to Romans 13:1, is because it's very important to understand that this book, King James Version, was one of the first English Bibles translated. Obviously, they had the Wycliffe in the 1300s that was translated from Latin to English, and then they had the Geneva Bible, and then King James wrote this one kind of to counter the Geneva translation in English. So a lot of people through the Reformation and that time period came out from underneath the Catholic Church. Then they were coming underneath the monarch over England, trying to tell them what they were going to believe, and so to speak, and that they were going to subject themselves to the king. So he actually interpreted the King James and had that twist in here for being subject to kings, being subject to rulers, being subject to people. Before I get into it, I'm gonna give you something that is an extreme contradiction to this way of thinking, okay? And it's very evident because you can look through history and verify it, okay? Almost every one of the Lord's followers who wrote these epistles were all crucified. Well, killed, crucified upside down, or however you want to put it, okay, stoned. They were all put to death is the point I'm making, okay? So, why did that happen? Well, the reason why it happened is because they used the term ecclesia. Ecclesia is what the Romans used to summon Caesar, would summon people out of society to serve in Rome underneath Caesar. So when they're using this term ecclesia to call out of, they were telling Caesar, sending him a message that we were called out of this world, out of your jurisdiction, into a heavenly citizenship, into a heavenly jurisdiction. In Christ we have no king but Jesus Christ. So that's the message that was put forth. That's what they were saying. So as a result, the fire came and then Nero sent the order out to have all the Christians rounded up and started killing all the Christians, and they wound up losing their lives because they said, "We have no king but Jesus Christ. We're in this world. We're not of it. Our jurisdiction's in heaven. We're seated in heavenly places. Our citizenship is in heaven. Our jurisdiction's in heaven. Jesus is our only king." That is a contradiction to what people quote this in Romans 13 is saying, and what 1 Peter chapter 2 is saying. Why? Because it was written to appear that way. It's not what the original language is actually stating. Why? Because the King of England wanted them to remain underneath his stronghold and not to leave and really worship the King, Jesus Christ. So this kind of wording was put in here. So let's look at Romans 13, and I'm not going to cover this and go into a lot of details because I just got a few minutes for this video, but I'll just give you I'll give you a few interesting points, okay? And pointing out the concept, pointing out history, verifying those facts for yourself. Let every soul be subject to the higher power, for there is no power but of God, and the powers that be ordained are ordained of God. And so whosoever resists that power resists the ordinance of God and brings damnation upon themselves. And so we talk about ministers of God. He talks about being a minister of God for good, and then they bear not the sword in vain and not for wrath and all these things. So he goes into all these things. It's very important to understand that the term exousia is used here. Exousia is what believers receive in Acts chapter 1, verse 8 and 9 when they receive power from on high. Why? When the Spirit comes to live within them when they're born of God. An institution, it can't doesn't receive the exousia of God. A born again person believes the exousia of God. So what he's actually saying in his first verse is, let every soul be subject to the exousia of God. In other words, every soul that has received the exousia by coming underneath God is subject to God. Okay, that's what he's actually saying. So in the actual transliteration of verse 1 from the actual Greek, it says, every soul, exousia, under God, being subject, for there is no exousia outside of God, okay? That is not by God, okay? So therefore, those that exist by God are instituted by God with this exousia, so to speak. So it's actually referring to believers that are functioning in the exousia of God, being underneath and subject to God, who is the higher power. Okay? Therefore, the one that resists the exousia of God brings judgment upon himself. Not the one that resists the ordination of government that's delegated by God. No, the person that resists the Spirit of God coming to live on the inside of them, the exousia of God, okay, they're going to bring judgment upon themselves. Why? Because if you deny me before man, I deny you before my Father. So the point is, if you reject me before men, I'll reject you before my Father and my holy angels. So by rejecting the promise of God, the Spirit of God that's coming to live inside of us at salvation, that gives us the power to be witnesses, to testify of his witness, they bring judgment upon themselves. Kind of a different little twist there, context, whenever the King of England doesn't put his little twist on it right there because of what was happening with people leaving England and coming to the New World to actually try and worship Christ in freedom because their ancestors have already come out of the Reformation and had persecution from that, which stopped in 1585. And then he goes on to talk about how ministers, are for good. They're not to bring a terror for fear, for the exousia has come to come on the inside of you so that you could have the same praise, that you can bring praise to him as well as they bring praise, so to speak. So the point is that the term tribute and tax and revenues used in verse 7, but it's actually talking about us being free from a debt by receiving the word tax. There is receiving the grace that's been put out for us to teleos, to completion, the revenue. Those terms shouldn't be translated right there. Debt, tax, revenue, no, it should be the debt we had has been canceled out coming to his grace and coming to the completion of that work by receiving his exousia on the inside, the Spirit. So the point is that without going into too much more detail, and looking at transliteration and spending too much time in that transliteration, I want to just actually jump a little further down where he actually says, "Owe no man nothing but to love one another, for love fulfills the law," and he talks about not breaking certain commands. And loving your neighbor as yourself, for love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. And he goes on to talk about how it's high time to wake out of your sleep, for salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Government ain't got nothing to do with any of those things, okay, but a minister of righteousness bringing forth the exousia of God, so that comes to live inside of a person, has much to do with that, canceling out that debt, bringing the grace to completion in that person's life has a lot to do with that. And then it says, "For the night's far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light," putting on Christ, "walking honestly as day, not rioting, not drunkenness, not in wantonness, not in strife, not in envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, that you will make no provisions for the flesh." So he actually goes on to talk about love being a fulfillment of the law. We know that he gave us two new commands. Those new commands are in 1 John, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and to love your brother, and in that you fulfill all the commands. So this is similar to what's actually being stated here whenever he's saying, therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. So I hope that this gives you a little insight. I'm Martin Williams with the Good News Jesus Christ.org.